This is LBC, leading Britain's conversation with Sheila Fogarty. Call 0345 6060973. Tweet at LBC. Text 84850. Sheila Fogarty on LBC.
Well, there's timing and there's timing. We're talking this hour about those Greek election results. And as the hour begins, the new Greek Prime Minister, Alexis Tsipras, who is the leader of the Syriza Party, which has just won the elections, the far-left radical party, anti-austerity party, he's just been sworn in as the new Prime Minister of Greece. Now, it would be easy to just look at Greece and say, oh, it's them, it's not us, it's just a Greece. But it's a really key story for the future of the Eurozone. And we hear time and again how Britain's economic prosperity, how its successes, how its growth is not entirely dependent, but heavily dependent on the success of the Eurozone, one of our biggest traders. So where does all of this leave the rest of us? So the far-left Syriza Party, get used to that name, the Syriza Party, the winner of Greece's elections, has formed an anti-austerity coalition with a right-wing party called the Greek Independence. The coalition between the two of them will have a comfortable majority in the new parliament. Syriza didn't quite make it to an all-out win. Alexis Tsipras has been sworn in, as I was saying a moment ago, as prime minister. He says he wants to stay in Europe, but wants to renegotiate Greece's bailouts. They're worth 240 billion euros. That's 179 billion pounds. The bailouts, you remember the one in Ireland and other places as well, the bailouts were to prop up the Eurozone, to prop up the currency that is the euro. Greece's debt now is even bigger than it was then. So has it worked? What's been the point? The 19 finance ministers of the EU are meeting this afternoon, no doubt watching the same kinds of things and listening to the same kinds of things as we are coming out of Greece. I'm joined now by George Parker, political editor of the Financial Times, and Dr. Roman Gerodimos, who's principal lecturer in global current affairs at Bournemouth University. He's also founder of the Greek Politics Specialist Group. Good afternoon to both of you.
Hi.
George, first of all, sort of, if you could list off, you know, one or two implications you think this might have for the elections here.
Well, I mean, I think the first thing to say is that, you know, as you mentioned in the introduction, Britain relies on the Eurozone. It's our biggest trading partner. So we want the Eurozone to be doing well. If the Eurozone doesn't do well and we go back into a period of instability, that's bad for the British economy. But I don't think politically that will have any impact at all before the election. I think politically this works rather in the favour of George Osborne and David Cameron, because what they'll say is, look, back in 2010, there was a, you know, Greece and Britain were both on the edge of a financial precipice. We took the safe path. We put the British economy back on the right course as well. So it fits into the narrative that, look, it's a dangerous world. It all looks a bit chaotic. Stick with what you've got. Stick with the Tories.
The thing is, though, he has tapped in, and he's tapped in very successfully, Alexis Tsipras, he's tapped in very successfully to a need to feel good about yourselves and about the country you live in. We've seen Podemos in Spain doing the same. We saw Obama become president off the back of that feeling, in a sense.
Well, that's true, and I think that's a good point, that this is a, you know, Syriza is a sort of symptom of European-wide anger about austerity. But it's interesting that Ed Miliband has been very careful not to sort of get to the business of saying, look, what's happening in Greece is a lesson for back here. I don't think Ed Miliband wants to be in the same camp as Syriza. I think, you know, George Osborne made the point this morning that what people in Greece are angry about is not so much necessarily austerity, it's the fact that the economic plan isn't working, whereas George Osborne would contend that although 5 years of austerity in the UK has been painful, we have unemployment at heading down towards 5% and healthy growth. So he would say there's a big difference. But you're right, you know, what's happened in Greece is a cry for help, which I think you can hear right across Europe, particularly across southern Europe.
And Dr. Roman Gerodimos, on whether or not Greece's bailout has been working, I mean, debt is even higher than it was, isn't it?
Well, it's true that, you know, we've seen improvement in, for example, you know, for the first time after many years, there's like a primary surplus, and but, you know, we're seeing a return to a very, very tiny, you know, growth. But it's, you know, the indicators seem to be in the right direction. Obviously, the issue of the debt is, you know, it's a separate one, and many say that, you know, there will need to be a renegotiation of the debt. I can't see that happening right now, and certainly not, you know, not under the terms that Mr. Tsipras is demanding. I mean, we may see an interesting negotiation, you know, back and from with the TROIC and the lenders. But, you know, many analysts have raised the question of whether, you know, the debt is you know, is sort of sustainable. But it's true that the measures haven't really trickled down. You know, that sense of, you know, the surplus and the return to growth hasn't really been felt by people on the ground. So you're very right to say that this election result indicates this feeling of anger and frustration with the austerity measures. So I think that's quite right.
You mentioned the Troika. That might be something people aren't familiar with. It's essentially the three groupings, the European Union, European Central mm-hmm. Bank, and the International Monetary
that's
Fund.
Right.
How do you think those, I mean, clearly it's going to be a long conversation, but how do you think those negotiations between the new government in Greece and that lot will begin?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really good question. I mean, at the moment, there are two schools of thought. One is that NAB actually prevailed in the run-up to the election, that Mr. Tsipras will sort of quickly, sort of quietly water down his pre-election pledges, try to take a more direct stance and a more constructive stance, and then maybe, you know, end up making some concessions, coming up with a scheme that is not too dramatically different from what we have today. And maybe just call it something else, not a memorandum, and maybe have some sort of a more, you know, growth-oriented angle to it, but it won't be that radical. And then there's another school of thought which actually says that Mr. Tsipras will, you know, stick to his hardline rhetoric and just really, basically, we're going to have a clash with the Troika of lenders, the actors that you just named. To be honest with you, the fact that he chose this morning to form a government, a coalition government with sort of a far-right, xenophobic, you know, a Eurosceptic party called Independent Greeks and Mr. Kamenos, and also the sort of the makeup of his cabinet or the sort of the provisional makeup of his cabinet indicate that he's not about to water down or sort of tone down his rhetoric. He's actually, you know, going for it. So it will be interesting to see where
yeah.
it leads us.
And George, on that coalition, it's a strange one, isn't it? They're strange bedfellows, but hey, we've seen that work-ish.
Well, I think people at Westminster are just astonished at how quickly the coalition was put together in about an hour. You know,
that's
we thought
true.
5 days in the UK was quite impressive.
And we've got rumours of 14, 15 days this time round if it's a coalition, haven't we? Yeah.
It's a remarkable bit of deal making. The fact he's been installed as Prime Minister already, it's pretty fast work, I think.
It is. But what about that coalition? Because they are both parties. I mean, they're about several things, I'm sure, but they are certainly both parties who are about how you feel, how Greeks feel about Europe.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, that they are populist parties which are tapping into a Europe-wide sentiment, which is that the Eurozone is not working, the Euro isn't working, and a deep frustration with, you know, powers a long way from your national borders, in this case particularly Germany for the Greeks, sort of pulling the strings. And I think that, you know, we're seeing that reflected in the way parties of the left and parties of the right are doing well here with a sort of populist message. So I think, you know, what we've seen in Greece is a herald, really, of what we're going to see in elections across Europe, in the UK in May, obviously, and then the Spanish elections later in the year. We've got the French National Front expected to do well in 2017 and French elections there. So, you know, it's really the start, I think, of a wave. And I think the one thing to say about David Cameron's plan to renegotiate Britain's membership of the EU, which people in Brussels have been quite sniffy about, I think the rise of parties like Syriza will actually make people think, well, look, actually, there is a sort of movement here which we really do have to address. We have to accept that something needs to change.
It might have done him a favour in that respect, you think?
Well, you know, it's possible, isn't it? I think yeah. it's very hard, you know, for people in Brussels to, you know, they up until now, they have been sort of sneering, frankly, at the sort of rise of Syriza, you know, hodgepodge of former Marxists and all the rest of it. But, you know, they've won a sweeping, you know, it's a landslide victory. And you can't just keep turning your nose up at democracy in Europe. And, you know, they are a genuine expression of public anger.
And in the place where it began as well. Thanks, George. I know you've got to dash off. George Parker, political editor of the Financial Times. But we still have Dr. Roman Gerodimus with us. Do you have any thoughts on parties like UKIP here in the UK might make of the Greek independence success here, the fact that it's part of the new government?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting because, you know, at one level, it really doesn't matter, you know, whether the party that, you know, wins the election or the, you know, the coalition partner is from the right or from the left. You know, the main message, I think, is, you know, this anti-austerity, anti-systemic, but, you know, sometimes even anti-EU message. And this, you know, this election and the fact that, you know, you get, what you're getting in Greece right now is really, you know, a sort of a thoroughbred anti-austerity, anti-systemic government will probably encourage similar parties across Europe Certainly Podemos in Spain, or even some of the far-right parties, or the more Eurosceptic, mainstream parties like UKIP, to seek an alternative model for Europe. The problem is, obviously, that these visions across countries and across, between, say, UKIP or Syriza or other parties in Central Europe are very different. So once you move away from, the current model with, obviously, its weaknesses and its structural deficiencies, really, what you have is chaos, because every populist party in every part of Europe has their own unique vision of where they want to take Europe, and obviously that is usually quite centered on the interests of the particular country and the national interests.
And so, listen, just to finish, if we may, or just before we do, a word on that great Greek Demis Roussos. He was really popular here in the 70s and 80s, and he's died sadly today.
Indeed, and I mean, he had a huge following really across the world, and I dare say that his following and sort of his legacy is sort of bigger at the international stage in Greece.
Yeah, and he made the caftan an acceptable form of attire, thanks, which I love. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Roman Gerodimos. I invited on to talk about politics, and I finished asking him to talk about Demis Roussos. Let's just indulge me a little listen to Demis.